Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope you guys are having a fabulous day today. It's a blessed day down here in Florida. Got some great weather, and we're getting your orders out for you first thing in the morning. So, awesome day again at Health Masters. And how are you doing today, Doug?
Austin, doing absolutely wonderful. Blessed of the Lord. Interesting article today. I have to read this to you. House votes to condemn Trump's transgender military ban. Now, as you know, a year ago he implemented this, and now it's finally getting put in, and the House passed a resolution formally condemning, has no power, the Trump administration's transgender military ban in a 238-185 vote on Thursday. Now, I'm not really, reading this to let you know this, because you guys already know this, but I want to read you the next one of the paragraphs down the street. It goes, the non-binding resolution, which was co-sponsored by 216 Democrats and GOP Republicans, states reverse in policy is detrimental to, listen to this, this is a quote, this is going to blow your mind, our national security by undermining our ability to recruit and retain the talented personnel, and that claims attempting to justify President Trump's ban are based on flawed scientific and medical assertions. Whoa! Wait a minute. So the ban is that, transgenders basically, really are masquerading as an opposite sex. And so now this ban that he's doing is based on flawed scientific and medical assertions. What the heck? I mean, are you kidding me? So now we're saying that it's a flawed medical assertion and lies that we have a male and a female sex. When I read stuff like this, Austin, it absolutely blows my mind, because this is a giant head game that they're playing on the American population, complete control manipulation of what their mind is supposed to think. And look what this Christian school just did. This is on Breitbart. It says, Grace Brethren School, a pre-kindergarten through 12th grade in Maryland, has withdrawn from their athletic conference due to a transgender policy that allows biological males to compete against girls. I mean, if you want to see something that looks absolutely awful, watch a 165-pound male wrestle a 165-pound female and how quickly that female gets basically pinned. It's awful. Same thing with the track, the field, everything. Here's a guy who basically is coming in here, says he's a girl now, he's 165 pounds, he's all muscled up right in the middle of puberty, and now he's going to go ahead and wrestle a girl. I mean, this is insanity. This is absolutely an indication of the moral decay and this turning upside down of our society, which the Bible warns us about. It's kind of like Barbara Streisand, that great, I'm not going to say it, I don't care for her at all, says that Michael Jackson's accusers were thrilled to be there at Never Never Land, and his sexual needs were his sexual needs. Therefore, they were thrilled to be there, even though they were being sexually assaulted, so they just need to shut up and go on down the road with it. This is what this witch said. This witch is second on my list to Hillary Clinton as far as women, BMWs, that I really can't stand. I can't stand this woman. Can't stand her. And I have never liked her. She's unbelievably ugly. Now, I will give her credit. The woman can sing. She's got like a 7-octave range. But she is so liberal, and her policies are so horrible that you kind of step back and go, wow, is she for real? Yes, she's for real. She says Michael Jackson's accusers were thrilled to be at Never Never Land, and his sexual needs were his sexual needs, and they should be happy they're there and basically got to do what got to be done with Never Never Land, even though he sexually assaulted these children, and they shouldn't be complaining about it right now. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that's like stupidity running amok. But let's go ahead and look. Let's look at Acts for 1 second, the book of Acts. And I've told you guys repeatedly that when Stephen was being stoned, he said something. He gave a little speech. I also talked about how the Hebrews, when they left Egypt, they dragged the traditions with them into their temples, into their people, everywhere. In Acts chapter 40, Acts chapter 7, verse 41. Let me read you this out of the New International Version. This is interesting. But our ancestors, verse 39, refused to obey him. This is talking about God. Instead, they rejected him and in their heads turned back to Egypt. Here we go. Egypt, stay with me. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. He's up on the mountain, by the way, getting Ten Commandments. That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it, revealed in what their own hands had made. But God turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. You know what I just said? God turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars, which they learned in Egypt. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings? 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel. You have taken up the tabernacle of, guess this, listen, Moloch. Remember I tell you, Baal, Moloch, and Asherah. And the star of your god, Rephim, the idols you made to worship. Well, the star of Rephim is, they call that the star of David. And what that is, that's two intersecting triangles or pyramids, which was brought directly to basically symbolize the pyramids in Egypt. And you guys can do your own research on that. But so when Barbara Streisand says stuff like this, it doesn't surprise me, Austin. What do you think?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, a lot of these individuals, their entire goal is essentially to push this really, really, really perverted agenda. And this is why I have said repeatedly for years, we can no longer sit back and be silent and be politically correct about a lot of these incidences that are happening. Every time something like this happens, every time we see comments like this, every time we see this transgender push and this wrestling, everybody goes, whoa, 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 you can't say anything about them. You're being a bigot, or you're being a racist, or you're being homophobic, or you're being transphobic, or whatever dumb word they want to come up with to try to criticize you and demean you for your personal beliefs of what's right and wrong. These things are being done systematically, day by day, year by year, decade by decade, and if you watch, you can look at this trend from the last 15 years now, pretty much since the middle of the 2000s, really to when Obama got into office, he heavily promoted this agenda. This weird, perverted ideology took off like a kite in the sky and went further and further and further. And now we're in this rabbit hole now. We don't even know how to get out of it. We're like you said, Dad, it's like good is bad, bad is good. The whole thing's getting turned upside down now. I mean, we're allowing men to compete in women's wrestling because they come out and say, I'm a woman now. It doesn't matter if I have male appendage. It doesn't matter if I have natural testosterone. I'm a woman, and I want to compete with women. I mean, not only the fact is that just some of the dumbest concepts you can possibly come up with, but the fact that we're actually entertaining it and thinking that's okay, and then turning around and saying, well, you know, listen, we don't want to discriminate against him. We don't want to offend him at all. We just need to step back. We need to let them do what they want to do. That is the problem. We're letting everybody do what they want to do except for Christians. Perfect example, and this was really irritating to me this morning. This is up in Pennsylvania yesterday. Pennsylvania State Representative, Representative Stephanie Borich, has been severely targeted by Democrats and Muslims for a so-called alleged Islamophobic speech after she offered Christian prayer in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. She prayed moments before swearing in the chamber of the first Muslim woman in Pennsylvania. She's a freshman Republican from a rural Pennsylvania district, and she invoked the name of Jesus more than a dozen times during her two-minute prayer in the chamber on March 25th. She continued to go on to say, Jesus, you are our only hope and our only Savior. Minutes later, Democratic Representative Mavita Johnson-Harrell, the first female legislator in the state, covered in a hijab, the little habib thing they love to run around and cover their face, was sworn in on a Quran. Responding to Borwich's prayer, Johnson-Harrell said that for the most part, the entire prayer was offensive. The Democrat from Philadelphia added that to use Jesus as a weapon is not okay, and the entire prayer should be offensive to everybody in the chamber. Wait, what? You're coming in to the United States legislature wearing a headscarf, taking your oath on a Quran, and the representative before you opens up with a prayer in Jesus' name, and now you're offended? You're offended? You can get the heck out of the chamber and go back to whatever Muslim hole you crawled out of. If you feel like the prayer in Jesus' name is offensive in the United States of America, this is the U.S. This is America. This is the country that still, in my opinion, the best we can, is represented and is saved by Jesus Christ and God Almighty. The Muslim, this Muslim representative went on to claim the prayer was an example of blatant Islamophobia. They said a Muslim prayer was then read from the dais of the chamber as part of the swearing in. The hijab-wearing Johnson Harrell said in the video that she seeks to be a model for covered women and girls. So now she's claiming that when they wear these hijabs, it's covered women. That's what they're returning. It's for covered women now. It doesn't promote oppression. It doesn't promote Sharia law. It doesn't promote the Muslim agenda. It doesn't promote Islam. It's just for covered women. But you pray in Jesus' name, opening up the chambers, that's now Islamophobic, and you can't do that. That's offensive. You're using Jesus as a weapon in prayer before the chambers. You're darn right she used it as a weapon, because Jesus is the only thing that can save any of us nowadays, ever before, and she used this. I really, really, really commend this representative, Stephanie, out of Pennsylvania, that she had the guts to open up with a two-minute prayer in Jesus' name to let everybody know in that chamber where she stood, and directly that she was not supporting Islam or the Quran when this covered woman wanted to be sworn in on it, Dad. So the fact that we're seeing this stuff now, that we're supposed to have this tolerant generation now, and this is what gets me, right? We have this tolerant generation. You have to let men compete with women. You gotta be tolerant. Oh, you gotta let boys go to the bathroom with your little girls because they want to do so. You gotta be tolerant. Oh, you gotta bake cakes for gay couples. If you're a Christian, you gotta be tolerant. But you say a prayer in Jesus' name, which is your right to do so completely under the Constitution and opening the chambers, and now you're Islamophobic and you're promoting Islamophobia because you prayed in Jesus' name? This is unreal, Dad, how completely and totally just corrupt this has become, and how contradictory this has become, especially with the whole name of tolerance now all over the planet, where everybody has to be tolerant of everything except for Christians. That seems to be the one thing that nobody's tolerant of.
It's basically this Kabbalah teaching. It's what it is. You guys go, here he goes again. He's starting on the Kabbalah. No, it is. This is the Kabbalah. This is Sabbatane Zevi stuff. This, all this stuff is. This is inversion. Everything's inverted. The universities make you stupid. Medicine makes you sick. Politics, it makes you crooked. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's all inverted. This is what was the goal in 1666 by Sabbatane Zevi. This is what they've incorporated into their lives. This is what they want. They want to turn the planet upside down, so when they bring their Messiah, that's when the Messiah is going to come back, when everything gets turned upside down, because he's supposed to be this man of peace that's going to come in as this eternal wonder boy, probably going to be Jared Kushner, I'm going to say that again, and going to be anointed in the temple, basically be cut with the spear of destiny. His blood's going to be spilled. That's what they're planning on doing. And all the rest of this stuff is obfuscation. All of it. They don't want us to know what's going on. They're this whole last 2 years, all it's been is in temple preparation. I mean, when our top guys go over there basically for the dedication of the Sanhedrin and the temple and the altar stone, nobody talks about that on mainstream news. It's all hidden, hidden, hidden. It's all hidden stuff. It's like in 1984. This is an interesting article. It's from the Foundation of Economic Freedom. It says freedom, economic foundation for economic education is freedom. And it says two ways our world resembles 1984. This is an article by John Miltmore. It has been posted on the Health Masters news site. And what he basically says, that he was 25 years ago, he read the book 1984. He said he really didn't remember a whole lot of it, but he always hears it being quoted. And he said that in 1984, Orwell's philosophy was that Orwell's grasp of the philosophy behind Big Brother, or rather its lack of philosophy. Now remember, Orwell originally started off as a communist, as a Democrat, same thing, pretty much. Saw the truth and started saying, hey, look, we've got to be careful what's happening. He says, it's not that just Big Brother is hostile to truth, logic, or facts. It's that truth, logic, and facts will at certain times inevitably conflict with its sole goal, control. In other words, when people start seeing the truth, the powers to be can no longer be in control. This brings us into second observation about Oceania, which is basically, it's a land steeped in politics. This is in the novel. It's force-fed to people. They consume it, whether they wish it or not. It is pumped out on television screens day and night. This politics. That's what they're doing to us right now with Ocasio-Cortez, with Soros, with Trump, with Hillary, with Obama, pumped out day and night. It comes from indoctrinated children and neighbors who have been hardwired through a theta brainwave state as a young child to believe the lie. Some of these people reciting the party's cliches believe it, others may not, but there's no escaping the party dogma. At no point in the novel is this more thoroughly demonstrated, listen to this, when Winston Smith reveals that even sex was polluted by politics. Here's how he describes his initial act of love with Julia, the woman who becomes his lover. Now, this is the inside, this is the fight between man and woman. Now, listen to what they say. In the old days, he thought a man looked at a girl's body and saw that it was desirable, and that was the end of the story. But you could not have pure love or lust nowadays. No emotion was pure because everything has been mixed up with fear and hatred. Men hate women. Women hate men. Their embrace has been a battle, basically a fight for victory. It was a blow against the party. It was a political act. This is exactly what I'm talking to you about today, and Austin is talking to you about. When you have men and women competing in one sex and being told there's no difference between men and women, it's a political act. It's an act that our government is trying to force on us. And he goes on to talk about truth decay. We see in 1984 a world in which politics has consumed life's most intimate actions. Politics, few today would deny, saturate most aspects of our lives. It's in our school systems, our colleges, our football games, our blockbuster films, and America's churches. This was not always the case, and the development not a healthy one. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. Politics needs to be in churches more. The pastors in the pulpit need to be talking about what I'm talking about right now, about the transgender issues and all the other things we're talking about today. He goes on to say, and then there's a matter of truth. Last year, the Rand Corporation published a report. It essentially said that our civilization is suffering from a strange condition called truth decay. It's defined as a set of four related trends: increasing disagreement about facts and analytical interpretations of facts and data, a blurring of the line between opinion and fact, an increase in the relative volume and resulting influence of opinion and personal experience over fact, and declining trust in formally respected sources of factual information. What they're saying here is that, hey, basically, all these sources that we thought were real are lying to us. The media, the sciences, the journals, all of these things now become blurred, and these analytical interpretations are now saying there's disagreement about them because of how the facts are being put together, and now we're basically living in this giant Orwellian society. And we've also lost freedom of speech. He says, so he's on to say, if we truly wish to understand why freedom is necessary in a civilized society, we must begin to realize that because freedom of discussion improves our own opinions, hear this, listen to me, freedom of discussion improves our own opinions, the liberties of other men are our own vital necessity. In other words, we have to basically tolerate one another, be able to say things. If we say a Christian prayer at a doggone congressional meeting, it's no different than them saying a Muslim prayer afterwards. Everybody needs to be tolerant of it. A few years ago, when Trump won the election, I have a German friend of mine who married a Colombian who's a hardcore socialist, communist, leftist nightmare, okay? And they came over to the house, and, you know, she's kind of the coal dust you have to breathe to talk to this guy who's a friend of mine. And finally, I told her, she started on the fact that Trump won. And I looked at her, and I said, look, I said, I didn't hassle you for 8 years because of Obama. I said, you were running around bragging about what Obama was doing. I just ignored you. I said, I'm not going to worry about it. I said, whatever, it's her opinion, who cares? I said, but I have to make you understand something. It's not this left-right paradigm that you're involved in. I said, they're all crooked. I said, Trump's crooked. Obama's crooked. Bush is crooked. You know, Clinton's are really crooked. The other Bush is crooked. Even Reagan got compromised after he had his doggone, after he was shot. I said, they're all crooked. I said, it's just the nature of politics. They're all a bunch of liars. And she goes, well, that's sort of true. And I said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you information on the stuff that Trump does is good and the stuff that Trump does is bad. and let's be neutral on it. Let's just look at it from an opinion fact that this is what these guys are doing. Okay. Oh, yeah, that lasted for a little bit. All of a sudden, I get an email from her. Stop sending me this information about anything about politics. I don't believe any of this stuff. I'm a hardcore liberal communist Democrat. I don't want to hear any of it. Why? Because she was hardwired as a child in Colombia to believe the lie about socialism and communism. Can't break out of the framework. I can sit there and show her everything that Obama did that was a lie. Doesn't make any difference. She doesn't see it. You say, well, no, she just doesn't want to see it. No, she really doesn't see it. She has so programmed her brain that she can't understand it. It's like George Orwell says, everything that happens is based on what we're being taught from the TV set, and politics are being dragged into every aspect of our lives, including our bedroom, our schools, everything. Why? Because this is what they want. They want to brainwash the masses and make you lick the boot that's been put on your neck, the tyranny. And now, as I told you guys years ago, I told you that vaccines were going to cause medical martial law and quarantines. And we see it now in New York. Guys, the next step are FEMA camps. Told you yesterday. Listen to yesterday's show. Austin, what do you think? And what's your next story?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there was an incident that multiple people have sent me now in the last couple of days. I saw it, I think, the beginning of the week, and I kind of wanted to do a little bit more research on it. But this happened on February, I think, 25th, about a month ago, out in Arizona, where essentially a brief synopsis of it was essentially a mom took her son, who was a two-year-old, to the hospital, and he had a temperature over 100 degrees. The doctor instructed the mother to go to the emergency room, and the child was not vaccinated, by the way, and so the mom ended up was going to take him to the emergency room. His fever broke. She didn't take him to the emergency room. Long story short, the doctor got word from the ER that the child never showed up because he had already called them. So the doctor called Child Protective Services on the family. Child Protective Services contacted the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Department showed up for a wellness check. The family basically said, we don't want to talk to you. We don't have an attorney. We'll talk to you through the door. And they said, we need to do a wellness check. We need to check on the child. They said, the child's absolutely fine. His fever broke. Please stop harassing us. Well, that wasn't good enough for the Sheriff's Department. They went and talked back to Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services signed off. The Sheriff's Department signed off. And they got a search warrant, and they brought back a full-blown, fully armored SWAT team to breach their front door, extract not only the two-year-old, but their other two children that I think were 5 and 7 years old, extract all of them, arrest the parents, take the children and hand them over to Child Protective Services. They then ended up releasing the parents, and the parents had to fight in court for over 10 days just to get a visitation to see their two-year-old son as he's being held with Child Protective Services because they deemed them to be essentially unfit parents. They ended up making the father take a drug test. They made the mother take another, I think, a psychological test on it. Multiple hoops the whole family had to go through to basically prove that they were fit parents, and they were able to do so, to be able to take their children back into custody. And so they blatantly said it was brought to our attention that basically we've been targeted by the medical community because we had not vaccinated our children. There are parents and families out there that are having way worse issues. We had no problems, no prior history, no issues whatsoever, yet we were raided by a SWAT team because Child Protective Services targeted us simply because a doctor was mad that we didn't go to the ER when our child was unvaccinated with 102 or whatever degree temperature that he had. So believe, guys, it is starting to happen all over the country right now. Slowly, they're beta testing. See, when they do stuff like this, I best believe the Sheriff's Department, CPS, nobody's going to be held accountable whatsoever. They won't even have an internal affairs investigation into this at all. They'll say it was all followed by protocol. It was all done by the book. Nothing to see here. Go along. Here's your children back after a couple weeks. You guys just go do what you were doing. Shut up. Be quiet. Don't say anything about it. And they're going to beta test it. Same thing they're doing up in New York right now. As I told you guys yesterday, it makes no sense to me while they're doing a full-blown quarantine and forcing anybody that's not vaccinated under the age of 18 to not leave their homes. They cannot go on any public venue whatsoever. What doesn't make any sense to me is they're not doing that with people that have the measles. The That's what I said yesterday. If you have a crisis, if you have a epidemic, if you have something that's going on, standard quarantine procedure is to quarantine all individuals that are symptomatic and have been shown to have a disease. This symptom, measles. So, okay, we have people, they're symptomatic, they've tested positive for measles, they're quarantined. You have to stay in your house until basically you are cleared by a nurse that you don't have measles anymore. Okay, I have a little issue with that, but I understand it. That is true quarantine procedure. They're not doing that. They're quarantining anybody that is not vaccinated and belittling them, berating them, contacting them on the phone, going over there with basically security and going over there with personnel and trying to force them to get vaccinated by coercing them to doing so. They're absolutely doing everything they can to try to force the population into submission. And understand, guys, this isn't just about the vaccine agenda. This isn't about just, oh, we need everybody vaccinated. Even if you want to talk about how unhealthy some of these vaccines are and the damages they do, that's even a side note. What this comes down to, in all reality, when you talk about it, you strip all of it away, it is about control, domination, and submission. It is all about the globalist power forcing you to submit to their demands. That is what this is all about, guys. That's what the bottom line of all this is about. You will do what we tell you to do. You will do it when we tell you to do it. And you will ask us how high when we tell you how high to jump. And you will say, please, can I have another? You will do so, and you will do so without asking questions. That is what they're trying to drill into the population of the United States. They have not reached that point yet because the resolve of this country is still incredibly aggressive. And we still have a very, very significant armament in the United States, including Missouri now. That is trying to go as so far as I found out yesterday. I did some more research. They are actually trying to sidestep it, and instead of putting this on the governor's desk, they are actually going to put this bill to ban all federal gun laws, and they're going to put it on the ballot on 2020. And apparently they already have enough signatures to put it on there. They are going to let the people of Missouri vote whether or not they want to have any more federal firearm laws on the books, or whether NFA registry is even going to apply to the Missouri population now. The population gets to vote on it. So we're going to see if this is going to be a true vote or not. If it makes it to the ballot, exciting. But back to what I was just talking about with domination. Out in California now, you guys know Senator Richard Pan, the individual that authored Bill SB 77, which removed all religious exemptions from childhood vaccines in California back 3 years ago. He was the spearhead that did this. Now he is saying that he has introduced Bill 276. This is going to blow your mind. This bill, if passed, will take away the right of all California medical doctors to even write a medical exemption for a vaccine unless they get full government permission and sign off on that individual. They are literally about to turn around and violate doctor-patient relationship, doctor-free speech rights, and contradict every single medical law in history by saying the medical doctor, even if he believes he needs to write a medical exemption for a vaccine because a child is having adverse reactions, he cannot legally do so. He has to contact the state and get permission from the state whether or not he can write a vaccine exemption for medical reasons in the state of California. This is beyond insane. And what's crazy about this, Richard Pan doesn't even have a leg to stand on, because they said before the original bill, it was a 2.6% rate of individuals that got medical exemptions. It is now down to 1.9%. And the medical exemptions weren't even touched with the original bill. So this Pan's plan is essentially a solution in search of a problem. There is no issue. The percentage of medical exemptions is dropping dramatically in the last 2 years, yet now he wants to go in and force medical doctors to get permission to write a medical exemption for a person, even though the percentage now is in the 1% of the population that actually have been approved for that now, Dad. So again, as I said, understand what we're dealing with here. This is not just about vaccines. This is not just about trying to get people to do for the greater good. This is about forcing people to submit to the globalist power, because once you break the back of a civilization, once you break their will, once you stop them and they no longer have the will to fight back, when they no longer have the drive to go against the tyrannical force, they will do whatever you tell them to do, all in the name of the greater good and the globalist power, because they do not want to be beaten down any further. They want their bread, they want their circus, they want their beer, and they want their NFL, and as long as you give them that, they will continue to do whatever you tell them to do, because they do not want any more problems, and that is exactly what we're starting to see happen now down in the United States.
Country of victims, Austin. Victim mentality,
yes,
victim
exactly.
status is what they want. Saw it in Germany. They sat there and let Hitler do what Hitler did and basically didn't stand against it. And, you know, it was nuts. I mean, he was like a doggone rock star for the first 6-7 years he was in office, and he started going nuts. And they just sat back and watched it, and they couldn't believe that it was happening, because they didn't want to be hauled off in the middle of the night by the SS or the Gestapo. They just didn't want to disappear. And so they kind of just – they capitulated until the entire country was wiped out and half the population was dead. That's what happened to Germany. And they've continued to beat them down and beat them down. Now I want to start about – let's not stop here for 1 second. You say – let me ask you guys a question. Why are these guys bent on making you get vaccinated? And we're gonna have a little chit chat right now. Why are they absolutely HE double sticks bent on you getting vaccinated and vaccinating your children? Why is it they're willing to crash through your doors with this couple? And I'm sure all of his children were taken. And I'm sure all of them were brought up to date on vaccines. He still has not gotten those children back, by the way. He's still fighting the Department of Family Services to get his children back. And they're going to bring him up to stuff. They're going to bring him up to speed and say, oh, by the way, they haven't been, you know, vaccinated properly. We're going to go ahead and inject them with 56 vaccines right now. Are you kidding? Well, who knows what they're going to do to them? Who knows what they're going to do to them? And, you know, and so they don't have the right any longer when the profile Child Protective Service comes in. Remember, it was about the 2-year-old who had a fever that had broken. He didn't want to deal with it, so he just didn't go to the hospital because the fever had broken. And they didn't bother to come in there and put a thermometer in the kid's mouth and leave the kid there. They didn't do all that. They dragged them all out. I'm sure these two were handcuffed. I'm sure they were handcuffed with guns in their faces because they didn't vaccinate. So ask yourself a question. What's in that vaccine that they want you so desperately to have? Okay, here we go, Ted. Now Ted's going somewhere. This is my little speculation right now. What's in the vaccine that's so important that they inject in you that they're willing to subject you to medical martial law to force you under doggone, you know, thumb screws tied down on a gurney to take this and put this into your body? Is it the aluminum? Is it the mercury? Is it the other adjuvants? Is it the squalene? No. Is it the nagalase? Well, I don't know about that. Is it another virus? Is it a dormant virus that they can activate using 5G technology? Uh-oh, I'm going here right now. Is it some other type of virus they can do or they can activate by hitting you with the right 5G technology or the right other vaccine or the right food combination or the right anything? Will it automatically activate this virus? Are they putting a dormant virus or a live virus into you on purpose? My response should be no, absolutely not. They never would do that. And I would say, au contraire. Au contraire. Would they do this? Oh, they've already done it. Back in the 60s, SV40. It's an abbreviation, and I'm reading you right off the Wikipedia page. It's an abbreviation for simian vacuolating virus 40. It's a polio virus that is found in both monkeys and in humans. It was named for the effect it produced on infected green monkey cells, which developed an unusual number of vacuoles, like other polio viruses. Is a virus that has the potential to cause tumors. That's it. Cancer in animals. But basically, it often persists as a latent infection, which means it doesn't go, it stays dormant in your body. It's been widely studied as a model of eukaryotic virus, leading to the early discoveries of DNA replication. So what they're telling you is it incorporates itself into your DNA. The discovery of the simian 40 revealed that between 1955 and 1963, 90% of the children and 60% of the adults in the United States were biologically contaminated with SV40. Now, I'm reading this off the Wikipedia page. 90% of the children, over 100 million people, were done with this. It lays dormant for a while, then it kicks in. Causes a massive, massive increase in brain, bone, and breast cancers in the children and the women who got it and the men who got it. Here's the crazy part. It replicates genetically. It goes into your DNA, and it becomes part of the epigenetics of your body. In other words, women and men who have been born to the mothers and the fathers who were given this SV40 virus, on purpose, I may add, passed it on to their children through their own DNA. Whoa, did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Why in the HE double sticks they want you so much to have these vaccines put into your body? What are they putting in you? That's what I want to ask. They've already put SV40 in 100 million people. Probably 95% of the population of the United States right now is already contaminated with SV40. How do you know they can't put something else in you? This is 70 years ago they were doing stuff. 60 years ago they were doing stuff like this. Now all of a sudden it's like, where have they gone with the technology? So why are they so adamant, and why does the Deagle Group say that we're going to have a 200 million person reduction of our population within the next 5 years? What the heck's that all about? What's going to happen to us? Are they going to trigger us with these 25,000 satellites that go around the planet? They've already known that when you take Morgellons, which we've all been infected with, unless we have a really good DNA system, especially if we have heavy metal toxicity, and you hit Morgellons with a blue light frequency, it starts growing exponentially in your body. Turns you into something different. What's it going to turn you into? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to turn you into. Apparently, they don't like the way you are because they hate you, they hate God, they hate His creation. And these things on the other side of the veil that they're trying to bring in by the dozens of millions or whatever they want to try to do with them, they want to be here, and they need something to inhabit. They can't maintain the energy field around their bodies in this dimension without being inside of another energy field, inside of you or something else like you. Is that what the autistic kids are all about? Do they have hundreds of millions? Do they have billions of these things that want to come over here? Well, what they do in Genesis chapter 6, boys and girls, what they do? What the heck? Every thought of every man was evil all the time. We had all these weird human-animal hybrids running around, and they sinned against the reptiles, whatever the heck that's supposed to mean. Read the book of Enoch. This is their end game for you. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with the returning of the Son of Man. If you read the book of Enoch, it talks about how the Son of Man was walking with the Ancient of Days, which is God the Father. Guys, think through this for a second with me. All of this thing is a giant spiritual battle that we're in. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. They'll use flesh and blood against you, but against these other principalities. They want to bring them in by the billions. They want to flood our planet with them. They want to open a gate at CERN, a portal, to allow them unbridled entry into our dimension. What the heck? Why do we want these things in our dimension? God put a veil there to start with so you didn't get into that whole situation with these things. These weirdos. These Luciferians, these Baal worshippers, these Moloch worshippers, they've been using this ayahuasca and all these different drugs for thousands of years to go into altered states to talk to these things. There's seances, sacrificial ceremonies, passing their children through the fire, Baal, Moloch, all these different things to learn what they know, to understand who these things are, to cooperate with them so they can be blessed. They feel blessed or led to riches in this dimension we're now. They wear their little Kabbalah string around their wrist, just like the first daughter in the White House. Now, you hear what I'm saying? Who are these people? What are these people? Have their DNA already been changed? They consider themselves to be the Benayim di Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They don't consider themselves to be the same DNA as you and me anyhow. We're goyim. We're dirt. We're diseased rats to them. That's who they see us as. And they run around with their little red strings. And these demons supposedly allow them to have the things they want in this universe, this holographic energy field that we live in, if they give them part of their energy and they swap knowledge back and forth. That's the reality. That's where it's going. Simeon 40? That's just a start. There is no telling what they're injecting into you. And they're adamant beyond belief of forcing you to take their drugs, their injections. It's incredible to me, Austin, that people don't see this. What do you think, bud?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's some pretty crazy stuff, and I mean, that's why we keep bringing a lot of these topics up. It's not because we forgot that we brought them up yesterday. We know very much so. It's because these are some of the most important topics right now, and hardly anyone, especially mainstream media, is bringing any of them up. Like I talked about at the beginning of the week with up there in Rockwood, over there in New York, with this total discrimination against unvaccinated children up there right now. Nobody's talking about that. Just like their media blackout on what's going on in New Zealand right now. I just got an article today from The Truth About Guns. And one of New Zealand's largest firearm forums now, people have been blowing it up, literally, with all these comments because nobody in New Zealand's talking about it. Nobody anywhere in the rest of the world's talking about it. But now New Zealand has begun confiscating firearms. Police have been going up to gun owners' homes, jobs, and one individual even killed himself in his house, committed suicide off of a standoff the other day because he had already gone to jail before, apparently. He was from Russia. And he had an SKS in his house, and he had a big standoff. He ended up committing suicide. This is happening right now, just weeks after, or not even a week, just 1 week after they banned all these firearms. According to the members of the New Zealand's largest firearm forum, New Zealand police are starting to go to gun owners' places of employment, homes, and even gun ranges in attempt to gather information and get gun owners to relinquish their firearms. And I pulled up the website earlier, and I was looking at all these different comments. Another one right here said, now, apparently, police are trolling social media for leads on any newly prohibited firearms. This one comment from Teggy. He said, a mate of mine had the cops turn up at his house on Saturday night after an image of a friend of his had posted on Instagram holding an AR-15 that they reported. They asked to see his safe, and he actually complied. They confiscated his AR-15 as well as a semi-automatic .22, although they admitted they weren't sure if it would be effective under the new law. They suggested he may get it back. However, they still took it. They gave him a police property form with all the details of what they were holding, and they left with his firearms. This is happening right now. Another one they talked about, an individual was at work. He was actually at his desk, and he turned around, and there were two police officers. They said that they needed to discuss them with him. They basically had reports that he owned an AR-15. Listen, by the way, guys, these are law-abiding citizens right now from the research that I have done so far. And that's very, very skimp on what I can find right now because there's a full media blackout on what's going on in New Zealand. But from what I'm hearing and what I'm hearing reported in a lot of these gun sites and a lot of these forums I've been on this morning, these guys are law-abiding citizens. They are not felons. They have not committed a crime. They have not threatened anybody. They have done nothing wrong except now be in possession of a gun that the government deems is big and scary and is illegal to hold. So this is what's going on in New Zealand. They are going door-to-door, work to work, as covertly and quietly as they can, finding out who has firearms and coming back and seizing them. And if the people apparently don't give their guns up, they put them in a full standoff, like this individual who's basically a former Russian soldier. He was feared of going back to prison, and so he had a three-hour standoff. He ended up committing suicide. And, of course, they went in his house, they raided him, and they found an SKS, which apparently is now illegal under the country's new ban. This is what's happening right now, and it's so sad to me that the people of New Zealand, I don't know whether some of them are waking up, some of them aren't waking up. I got news to you guys. If any of our listeners are in New Zealand right now, if you value your rights, if you value your liberty, if you value your medical freedom, if you value your health, if you value your safety, it's time to make a decision. And I'm going to leave it at that right now, but it's time to make a decision on what you want to live for and what you want to die for. Because they are in a position right now. There is no coming back from this. They are going to take all the firearms in that country. And at that point in time, once those firearms are relinquished by the civilian population, they will be at the will of the bidding of whoever wants to control them, including Russia, including the globalists, including any other country now. And that has been one of the biggest things that I have stressed to so many people. It's not about just safety from, you know, bad guys that go into your house. Of course, that's a good, you know, reason to own a firearm, for self-defense. But guys, I'll tell you right now, 12-gauge Mossberg pump-action shotgun will do numbers on any individual that breaks into your house. 12-gauge is it, and that's legal in most states. But if you're talking about a ground invasion from an outside force or an outside country, 12-gauge ain't going to work very much unless you're breaching houses. And other than that, you need to have some type of armaments that you can safely and proficiently operate if you need to do so if we ever had an invasion. And New Zealand is about to be exempt from all those firearms now, Dad.
You know what's interesting? I want to talk about this. Joel Skousen, a lot of people like him, a lot of people don't like him. On his World Affairs brief this past week, he talked about what's going on in New Zealand. And he said that basically it's a thing for, like you said, just about all about taking the information and taking their guns away. And here's what he said, I'm quoting him. New Zealand is part of the globalist deep state. In other words, it's Rothschild controlled. Being one of the Five Eyes countries which have access to U.S. secret surveillance around the world, including domestic surveillance of each nation. The others are Australia, Canada, the U.K., and the United States. No country is allowed into the circle without being a party to a systematic and illegal domestic surveillance and deep state control of law enforcement. Now, you have to go back because I'm running out of time, and you need to read that and listen to what I just said again. He talks about the UK had the Dunblane shooting, Australia had the Port Arthur massacre. He said it didn't help that Aussie's prime minister at that time was John Howard, a virulent advocate of gun control, who said in the aftermath of Port Arthur, "We will find any means we can to further restrict them because I hate guns. I don't think people should have guns, unless they are police or the military or security industry. Ordinary citizens should not have any weapons. We do not want the American disease imported into Australia." Okay, that's what he said. The U.S. has had multiple mass shootings designed and carried out by the deep state. This is the Rothschilds. This is who they are. You call them the globals. Okay, they own it all. This is the guys, okay? The Sabbateans, this is the guys. Okay, and what they've done, this onslaught of government mass-induced shootings we've had all over the country. Canada hasn't had a mass shooting, probably because the deep state didn't have to, because Canadians willfully just happily gave away their guns. New Zealand reacted to the latest mass shooting atrocity with a swift ban on possessing assault weapons, while even prompting on free speech as it has blocked websites and banned video sharing. Now, New Zealand will ban military-style weapons. We all already know that. We've already seen what they're doing. They're using it to change the law. Now, here's what they say. Here's what Skousen says. It will only appear a safer place because the deep state will stop engineering mass shootings once all guns are gone. By sometime in the future, when New Zealand and Australia are occupied by the Red Chinese during the next quote-unquote, this is going to be a false flag, World War III, I think false flag, they will rue the day they no longer had military assault weapons to defend themselves. So basically, it's already been set for them and Australia to be occupied by Red Chinese. And don't believe all the internet hype about billionaires moving to New Zealand for safety. He goes, it's simply not true. If you are moving there and building bunkers, they don't even know about the Chinese plans to occupy Australia and New Zealand. Guys, this is so important that you understand what's happening right now. New Zealand already had a 7-shot limit, which was easily bypassed by buying 30-round magazines over the internet. Guys, this is all about having these countries, which are part of the Rothschild New World Order. See, everybody wants to call them globalists. That's starting to just tick me off. Okay, let's call them what they are. Let's call them Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian weirdos. Let's call them blood drinkers. I don't care what you want to call them. Let's call them a bunch of sick blankety blanks. I don't care what you call them. Stop calling them globalists. It's the international banking cartel that's got their doggone feet and roots and hands and brains all over all of this stuff because they control the money supply, and without the money, none of it works. That's who's doing it. They're the same guys that want to rebuild that third temple, the Rothschild boys, Israel is a fiefdom, and basically bring in their Antichrist. And Christians are lining up by the millions to send money to rebuild the third temple to bring in their own demise. Their own demise. I mean, it's like paying somebody to kill you. I'm going to pay you to kill me because I think it's cool, because it's trendy. I'm trending right now. I'm trending that I'm going to give you money for this because I want you to buy somebody, get somebody over there so I can go ahead and have you stick a boot on my throat and kill me. So I'm going to give you cash to get it done. Are you sick? What's wrong with you? Read the book of Thessalonians. The Antichrist is going to be coming into that temple and going, I am God, okay, declaring himself God. And Jesus comes after that. I mean, do we really want to fulfill this prophecy? Do we want to help this along? Is this what we want to do? Think through who you support. Think through. Think through all these people out there on alternative news now that have been compromised who won't tell you what I just told you. Won't do it. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not saying nothing, man. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not going to do it. I don't want them to call me an anti-Semite. Anti-Semite? What does that even mean? That's a Semite people. That includes Arabs and Muslims and Jews. And everybody who's got Abrahamic blood who lives in the Middle East is a Semite. So it means we're anti that? No, no, no. I'm anti-Zionist. I'm anti that. That I'm anti. I'm not a Zionist. Don't want to be a Zionist. Don't have any interest in being a Zionist. Don't want to support the rebuilding of a third temple and the demise of Christianity. Remember, the Christian church, supposedly they say, it's raptured out. They had to find a way to get rid of Christianity, Christian church, when Darby started promoting this secret doctrine he'd been given from the masters of the universe and the great architect and all the other stuff, tying it all back into the Masonic lodges. They've got to get the Christian church out of the way. So rather than saying we're going to kill all the Christians when this happens, they go, oh, you won't have to worry about that. You're going to get raptured. You're going to go up in the first load, and you're going to have trains and buses and planes will suddenly lose their pilots, and people just have their clothes sitting there, and they just disappear. We'll do movies to it, make everybody believe it all. They had to get rid of the Christian church because it didn't fit into this end-time teaching if the Christians were all going to get killed. So they had to get rid of them. Think through what they're teaching. Guys, none of this stuff was taught until 1850 with this dispensationalism. None of it was taught. And all of a sudden, Darby couldn't get it taught. He was basically considered a heretic. And then Samuel Untermyer basically starts promoting Scofield, who took Darby's teachings and basically got them all published. And all of a sudden now we have this Bible teaching throughout the doggone churches that say Jesus came to be the Messiah. He failed at being a Messiah. He basically got himself crucified because he ran his mouth to the Romans. And so he really wasn't, wasn't their fault they crucified him because he wasn't supposed to do what he's supposed to be doing. I mean, where is this junk coming from? And that we don't have a covenant with God through Christ? What do you think the New Testament is? It's the New Covenant. These guys are so twisted in their theology and so twisted in their doctrine that they'll do anything they have to force the fulfillment of their quote-unquote Zionistic prophecies that are promoted by the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferians, who basically, according to Timothy, and of course, Stephen, were basically worshiping Moloch, and had their Raphim god, their star. I mean, are you kidding me? No, we don't follow this stuff. We follow our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who was made in the very image of God Almighty, our second Adam, who came and he died for us, for to forgive us of our sins, whose blood is being continually shed for us on Calvary because he's omnipresent. I've done shows on it. That's who we follow. We follow the true God, the living God, the great I Am, he called himself to Moses in the book of Exodus. The great I Am. Guys, it's so important that we remember that God controls it all. We're in covenant with him through Christ. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in every wind and teaching and doctrine and allow yourselves to be deceived. What time is it, Awesome? Guys, I love you. I'm going to go ahead and take off. I'm going to start preaching. I got to give Awesome the last 5 minutes. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I had a chance to pray for you this morning. You guys are absolutely awesome. We'll be on Hagman tonight. God bless you guys. Awesome, go ahead and finish it up. And thanks for supporting Health Masters, guys.
I got it, absolutely. Also, too, in other news, this is an interesting article that I found here. It said the article now is talking about a disturbing increase in colorectal cancer in young adults. Reason why I bring this up is they go into a bunch of these articles, especially in the WebMD and everything else. Researchers describe this upward trend, which began in the late 1980s and has continually gotten worse and worse and worse. They said that this study showed that those born around 1990 now have double the risk of colon rectal cancer and quadruple the risk of rectal cancer compared with adults born in 1950. So why would Generation Xers and millennials increasingly be presented with colorectal issues? Most observers say it could be because obesity is the prime subject. But then they say that can't explain why colorectal cancer are repeatedly cropping up in young athletes in peak physical shape. They said it's hard to blame obesity. We suspect there's something else going on. There absolutely is. We have talked about it over and over and over again, and a huge culprit of this is the glyphosate. This stuff is so toxic to every living element, the food coloring, the artificial flavors, the monosodium glutamate. the sodium nitrite, all this stuff in conjunction, and then you throw in glyphosate, which is unbelievably carcinogenic. I talked about in detail yesterday the article we have on the website where they did the test on the rats and the pigs. I got the photos on the website. It's very weird, but it shows you a very clear picture. These foods have consequences. You cannot continually eat this nasty, nasty garbage, and this is why. Because you think about it. People built born back in the 50s and 60s, like Dad's age, they didn't have a lot of stuff in the food. None of it was really in the food. It really didn't get introduced till about the early 80s, and then it really got prevalent in the late 80s and the 90s. Well, so you have adults that were born in the 50s and 60s. They've been eating this food now for the last 20 years, but they were in their 30s when they started getting exposed to it. We now have these Generation Xers, these millennials, born in the 90s, who have grown up from birth until day on GMO foods. This is why I did a whole article, a whole show a year ago on the dangers of the formulas that you buy, 95% of the formulas that you buy at the store, baby formulas. One of the main ingredients on almost every single formula is corn syrup solids. Corn syrup solids. And every time I did any research on them, I found out 100% of the time those corn syrup solids are derived from GMO corn. So you have children, huge portion of them, being raised on GMO corn from birth. The first thing in their mouth, if they're not breastfeeding, is GMO corn syrup solids. And for the rest of their life, they're continuing to intake these foods. And now they're seeing kids in their early 20s coming down with colorectal cancer that are really healthy athletes. The food that we put in our body is so important. That's why I told everybody it's so important to make sure you're buying organic, try to buy local, know what you're putting in your body, and support local organic farmers, because these are the guys that we're going to fall back on, because we cannot continue to rely on the Monsanto, Bayer, biotech industry if we want to maintain our health and actually stay alive for any significant period of time so we can continue to fight the good fight. Thank you guys for the support. Thank you for everything you continue to do. I think Dad's going to be on the Hagmans tonight. I won't be on. The slot's going to be a little bit shorter. So we appreciate the support, but be sure to tune in to the Hagman broadcast. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. We have lots of different specials right now on the website, including the CBD balm, the CBD oil, great stuff. The super potent E, our vitamin E, mixed tocopherol vitamin E, is on sale right now for product of the week, over 10% off. Really good formula for blood pressure. So be sure to check those out. If you need anything, also you can give us a call here at the office, 1-800-726-1834. We're here to help you guys the best we possibly can. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your emails. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome day. I'll talk to you guys again Monday as always, and enjoy the Hagman broadcast tonight. You guys enjoy.